Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show's word for word. I'm Pastor Steve. This is show number 437. We're going to be beginning in the book of Acts today. And that is Maaseh in the Hebrew. I am recording this show on the day of the Feast of Trumpets, which I am observing. This is also a Shabbat day. I do no servile work on this day. This work I do here, if you want to call it work, is of love and joy. There's a big difference. The covenant that was given to us is a covenant we must keep, and we must be observant. And keep the feast, keep the fast, follow the rules. That's all part of a covenant, okay? Let's get started. Chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Acts. And you can reference for verse 1, Luke, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That's Luke 1, 1 through 4. Evidently, Luke wrote the book of Acts. That's what all indications show. Here we go. The first account I made, O Theophilos, of all that Yeshua began both to do and to teach. Verse 2. Until the day when he was taken up, after giving instructions through the set apart spirit to the emissaries whom he had chosen, that's the disciples. Verse 3, listen to this, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them for 40 days. 40 days, speaking concerning the reign of Elohim, kingdom theology, not personal salvation, like churchianity. Oh, you go run it up to the altar and make a big dog and pony show, okay? No, it is a personal covenant with Yahweh, and there are rules to the covenant, and you have to keep them. And the churches say that everything's nailed to the cross. Well, no, it's not. That's a lie of the devil. Verse 4, reference Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. And John chapter 14, verses 16 and 26. John 14, 16 and 26. And meeting with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. Verse 5, this tells what that promise is. And you can reference Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Mark chapter 1 verse 8, Luke chapter 3 verse 16, John chapter 1 verse 33. That's Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, John 1:33. This is verse 5. Because Yohanan, that's John the Baptist, truly immersed in water, but you shall be immersed in the set apart Spirit not many days from now. The set apart Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, not the Holy Ghost. There's no ghost. It's the set apart Spirit. Ruach Kadosh, the Holy Breath. Verse 6. And for verse 6 of chapter 1, you can reference Luke chapter 1, verse 33. Luke 1:33. So when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Master, would you at this time restore the reign to Israel? Well, no, that's before he was taken up. He's going to come later and take care of all of that. There's got to be a time period to gather the remnant. Well, that's now. All the way up until now. We're still under the grace period, and we can still join the remnant through repentance and obedience. Verse 7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8. Now this is spoken to the disciples. To the disciples. They could do all sorts of things. Okay. Stuff we can't do. All right, these were special set apart people. And for verse 8, you can reference Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. That's Matthew 28, 19. The book of Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16:15. And the book of Luke chapter 24, verses 47 and 48. That's Luke 24:47-48. All right, this is verse 8. But you shall receive power when the set apart Spirit has come upon you. All right, because they were going to go all over. Listen to this. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Yehuda and Shomeron, that's Samaria, because there were Israelites in Samaria. They had just apostatized. Well, they had to be converted back. Okay? They had been shunned by the Israelites because that's the place where they had the golden calves and all that stuff. Under the apostate kings. Well, there were people that were of Samaria that were Israelites. They had pure blood. The ones that were not of pure blood, they didn't fool with. Same today. It's the same today. The pure blood can join the remnant. Those of impure blood cannot. It's an exclusive covenant with pure blood Israel. And that upsets a lot of churchianity, but I can't help that. That's tough. Verse 9. And for verse 9, you can reference Mark chapter 16, verse 19. Mark 16:19. And Luke chapter 24, verses 50-51. Luke 24:50-51. Verse 9. Here we go. And having said this, while they were looking on, he was taken up, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Zip! Up he went. Verse 10. And as they were gazing into the heaven, as he went up, see, two men stood by them dressed in white. Now, were they men? I don't think so. I think they were messengers, divine messengers. Okay. Verse 11, and you can reference Zechariah 14, verse 4. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. These two men said, who also said, "Men of Galil, why do you stand looking up into the heaven? This same Yeshua who was taken up from you into the heaven shall come in the same way as you saw him go into the heaven." That's how he's going to come back, with his mighty messengers in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim. The tares, they're going to get burned up. Verse 12. Then they went back to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Now, what is that? A Sabbath day's journey has a very short distance. You don't go anywhere. You can assemble. You can go to an assembly and worship on the Shabbat, or you can worship in your home. But you don't go to a store. You don't do business. You don't take a joyride. You stay around. It's a day of prayer. And it's a holy day. It's a set-apart day. You don't just do whatever you want. Well, today is the Feast of Trumpets. It's a Sabbath, but it's a Feast of Trumpets, the blowing of the trumpets. I'm observing this day. This is a work of service and a work of joy. This is not servile work. Okay? I'm not cleaning the house. I'm not doing the dishes. I'm not doing laundry. I'm not taking out the garbage. I'm not going to work and making a living. This is what I'm supposed to do on a Sabbath day, because I'm called out. Okay. I don't want to sound arrogant or egotistical, but when you're called out and you're called to preach, there you come under a different set of rules. You're under more obligation. It's not less, it's more. Okay? The rules are stricter. It's tough sometimes. It really is. You give up a lot. Okay? Don't kid yourself. Oh, I wish I could preach like that. Well, are you ready for all the stuff that goes with it? Okay? You have no idea. Believe me. Oh, man. But it's a joy. Hey, I get to serve the Father. How much better does it get than that? It doesn't, you know. Verse 13, and you can reference Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. That's Matthew 10, 2 through 4. Mark chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. That's Mark 3, 16 through 19. Luke chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. That's Luke 14 through 16 in chapter 6, okay? And when they came in, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, both Kepha, that's Peter, and Jacob, and Yochanan. These are the names of the disciples, Kepha and Jacob and Yochanan, that's John, and Andrew, Philip, and Tooma, that would be Thomas, Bartholomew, that's Bartholomew, and Matityahu, okay, that's Matthew, Jacob, the son of Alphi, and Shimeon, the zealot, and Yehuda, the son of Jacob. Now, that's not the betrayer. That's a different Yehuda. Okay. Different one. That's not Iscariot. That's a different one. He hung himself, remember? Verse 14. All these were continuing with one mind in prayer and supplication with the women and Miriam, the mother of Yeshua. There were a number of Miriams, okay? That's Mary. Okay? But this was the mother of Yeshua and with his brothers. Well, his brothers, during his ministry, had mocked him and said, what do you think you're doing? You're our brother. You know, what is all of this? Well, when they saw what had happened, they were converted. They became believers because they weren't at first. They gave him, his own family gave him a hard time. Okay? Not now. Verse 15. And this set of verses coming up is talking about Yehuda Iscariot, the betrayer. That's a different Yehuda. That Yehuda, man of Kerioth. Ish means man of. Kerioth is a city on Edom's border. He was an Edomite. He had a devil. Okay, and Yeshua knew it because he had to have a betrayer in order to set him up to be slain to cover over our sins with his blood sacrifice. It had to be. That order of events was from Yahweh. Okay, verse 15. And in those days, Kepha, that's Peter, standing up in the midst of the taught ones, and there was a gathering of about 120. That's not all the disciples. These are taught ones, people that were close and were taught by Yeshua, said, verse 16, men and brothers, this scripture had to be filled, which the set-apart spirit spoke before by the mouth of Dawud concerning Yehuda. Now that's Iscariot. Okay, that's the betrayer. Who became a guide to those who seized Yeshua. He was a snake. He wormed his way in. He was a devil. Okay. Verse 17. Because he was numbered with us and did receive his share in the service. He was one of the disciples. But he was false. How many of we have that are false today that worm their way in? In Christian identity and CI. You know, we have lying snakes that come in and start, they sound good at first, and then all of a sudden, they come up with all this weird stuff and start preaching nonsense, and you find out about their personal life, and they're in apostasy, and they're false. False shepherds, wolves in sheep's clothing. We see it. And it's not over. There's going to be more. Believe me, we've had some awful experiences. And it'll happen again. Because that's the method of the devil to try to infiltrate and destroy the testimony of the true preachers. Okay? Well, I listened to so-and-so, and he's supposed to be CI, and he's preaching all this nonsense. Well, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what goes on. They try to attach themselves and use the name of CI, and then they teach lies. What are you going to do? You know, that's the method. We're fighting a war, folks. Fighting a war. Verses 18 and 19, you can reference the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 3 through 8. That's Matthew 27, 3 through 8. And this is speaking of Yehuda Iscariot. Verse 18. Okay. This is what happened. This one, this is verse 18. Therefore, purchased a field with the wages of unrighteousness. That's the 30 pieces of silver that he threw back down. He hung himself. Okay. This one, therefore, purchased a field with the wages of unrighteousness. And falling forward, he burst open in the middle and all his intestines gushed out. Okay, that's when they cut him down because he was hanging for days. And he decomposed a bit. And when they cut that rope, he fell down and bust open. Ew, man. Verse 19. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem so that in their own language that field was called Kakal Dema. That is, field of blood. Okay. Verse 20. And you can reference for verse 20, Psalm 69, verse 25, 69:25. And Psalm 109, verse 8. That's 109. 8, verse 20. For it has been written in the book of Tehillim. Now that's Psalms. Let his dwelling lie waste and let no one live in it. And let another take his office. And here's what went on. Now he died. That left 11. Verse 21. It is therefore necessary that of the men who have been with us all the time that the Master Yeshua went in and out among us. Verse 22. And you can write this verse 22 reference Matthew 3 verse 16. That's Matthew 3:16. Mark chapter 1 verse 9 and chapter 16 verse 19. That's Mark 1 9 and 16 19. Luke chapter 3 verse 21. That's Luke 3:21 and 24:51. Luke 24:51. Beginning from the immersion of Yohanan, that's John the Baptist, to that day when he was taken up from us, that one of these should become a witness with us of his resurrection. They were going to replace to make 12 again. They're going to take one person. Okay, this is what they did, verse 23. And they put forward two. Yosef called Barsabba, who was also called Justice, and Matityahu. Now there was another Matthew. Okay, second Matthew. Verse 24, and praying they said, you, Yahweh, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen, verse 25, to receive the share in this service and office of the emissary, that's disciple, from which Yehuda by transgression fell to go to his own place. That was Yehuda Iscariot. And he went to his own place, which was the tree where he hung himself. verse 26. And they cast their lots. That's how they picked. Okay, they cast lots. And that's how they picked this man. And the lot fell on Matityahu, and he was numbered with the 11 emissaries, and that made 12 again. Okay? That restored the one that had been false and died. And that ends chapter 1 of the book of Acts. Now we're going to get into chapter 2. Okay. Verse 1. And when the day of the festival of Shavuot had come, now that's the Feast of Weeks, they were all with one mind in one place. Here we go. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Note the word wind or breath, rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and settled on each one of them. Okay, verse 4. And they were all filled with the set apart spirit, the Ruach Kadosh, okay, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them to speak. Now, this was not just, no, these were intelligible, actual languages, not this stuff that you see on TV. That's all fake. Forget that. Don't get misled by that. All right, verse 5. Now this is why they were given these languages, tongues, languages, to speak. Verse 5. Now in Jerusalem there were dwelling Yehudim, men of the tribe of Judah, dedicated men from every nation under the heaven. They were gathered from all over the place, and they all spoke different languages, their native language where they came, as well as Hebrew. Verse 6. And when this sound came to be, the crowd came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They didn't get it. You know, this man, these are all, okay, verse 7 explains it. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to each other, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? In other words, they weren't from their native land. All right. Verse 8. And how do we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? And verse 9. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Aram Naharaim, both Yehuda and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia. Verse 10, both Phrygia and Pamphylia, Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Yehudim and converts, all Israelites, Verse 11, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the great deeds of Elohim. These were the dispersed of Israel. These were not racial aliens. These were all Israelites that had been born in other lands and were raised speaking the language of that land. I was born in the United States of America, and my language is English, American English, but I am an Israelite by bloodline. I'm a blood Israelite. Well, so were all of these men. They were all from all over the dispersions. What about the Israelites in Germany? They speak German. The Israelites in Sweden, they speak Swedish. The Israelites in France, they speak French. On and on and on and on and on. We have Israel all over in all the Israelite countries. We're in dispersion. Well, so were these, and they had gathered. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were puzzled, saying to each other, what does this mean? Verse 13, and others mocking said, they have been filled with sweet wine. In other words, they're drunk. The mockers, always going to have mockers. Okay. Verse 14, but Kepha, that's Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, men of Yehuda, the land of Judah, and all those dwelling in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen closely to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you imagine, since it is only the third hour of the day. But verse 16, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now that's Joel, okay, with a J. There's no J. There wasn't a J in English till recently. Verses 17 through 21. Verses 17 through 21. This is a quote from the book of Joel. You can reference Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. Joel 2, 28 through 32. And the book of Romans chapter 10. Verse 13, Romans 10, 13, verse 17 through 21, verse 17. And it shall be in the last days, says Elohim, that I shall pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams, that all flesh that's of Israel, okay? It's all addressed only to Israel, not to anyone else. Verse 18, and also on my male servants and on my female servants I shall pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Verse 19, and I shall show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and a vapor of smoke. Verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and splendid day of Yahweh. Verse 21, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Verse 22, now this is Peter speaking, okay? Men of Israel, who? Who? Men of Israel. He's not speaking to anybody but Israel. right there, of Israel. Hear these words. Yeshua of Nazareth, a man from Elohim, in other words, a man given by God himself, having been pointed out to you by mighty works and wonders and signs which Elohim did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. All right, verses 23 through 28. You can reference Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. Psalm 16, 8 through 11. Verse 23. This one, given up by the set purpose and foreknowledge of Elohim, you have impaled and put to death through the hands of lawless men. Okay. Given up for a set purpose. Okay. This was by Yahweh's design. Verse 24. Him, Elohim, raised up, having loosed the pangs of death. They resurrected him, because it was impossible that he could be held in its grip, because he was divine. Verse 25. For Dawid said concerning him, I saw Yahweh before me continually, because he is at my right hand, in order that I should not be shaken. Verse 26. For this reason my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad, and now my flesh shall also rest in expectation. Verse 27. Because you shall not leave my being in Sheol, that's the land of the dead and its inhabitants, nor shall you give your lovingly committed one to see corruption. Verse 28, you have made known to me the ways of life. You shall fill me with joy in your presence. Okay, they killed Yeshua. Put him in a tomb. He did not go into corruption as a normal human body would. But on the third day, that body was reconstituted in its entirety and made divine. And he re-inhabited it and rose up. And then for 40 days after that, as I read early in chapter 1, he was seen, and then he ascended up into the sky. Okay, verse 29. Men and brothers, let me speak boldly to you of the ancestor Dawid, that he died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. Verse 30. Being a prophet then, and knowing that Elohim had sworn with an oath to him of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, to raise up the Messiah to sit on his throne, because Yeshua was of the line of David, the King, King of Kings. Verse 31, foreseeing this, he spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah, that his being was neither left in Sheol, that's the land of the dead, nor did his flesh see corruption. Verse 32. Elohim has raised up this Yeshua, of which we are all witnesses. All witnesses. Verse 33. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of Elohim, sitting on the right hand of the Father, and having received from the Father the promise of the set-apart Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Verse 34 and 35. Reference Psalms 110, verse 1. Verse 34. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself said, Yahweh said to my master, sit at my right hand, on verse 35, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. That's the tares, that's the Edomites, that's the Talmudists. A footstool. Verse 36, okay. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that Elohim has made this Yeshua, whom you impaled, both Master and Messiah. Verse 37. And having heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Kepha and the rest of the emissaries, that's the disciples, men, brothers, what shall we do? Verse 38. And Kepha said to them, repent and let each one of you be immersed in the name of Yeshua Messiah for the forgiveness of sins. Okay. And you shall receive the gift of the set apart Spirit. Verse 39. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as Yahweh our Elohim shall call. The called remnant, not everybody, the ones Elohim shall call. All who are far off. All right? The children of Israel, to you and your children, and to all who are far off of Israel. Verse 40. And for verse 40, you can reference Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 6. Jeremiah 51, verse 6. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. That's Philippians 2, verse 15. And Revelations chapter 18, verse 4. Revelations 18, 4. Verse 40. And with many other words, he earnestly witnessed and urged them, saying, be saved from this crooked generation. All right, that's race, okay? That would be this crooked race. That's genea. Verse 41. Then those indeed who gladly received his word were immersed, and on that day about 3,000 beings were added to them. That's the beginning of the remnant. The remnant. 3,000, and it's growing. Growing, growing, growing. Those who truly believe and are obedient to the commands, including baptism by immersion, full immersion, not sprinkling. Verse 42. And they were continuing steadfastly in the teachings of the emissaries and in the fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. Verse 43, and fear came upon every being, and many wonders and signs were being done through the emissaries. Not everybody, through the emissaries. Okay? Not snake handlers. The 12. Verse 44. And you can reference the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 32 and through 35. Acts 4, 32 through 35. And all those who believed were together and had all in common. Had all in common. They shared and helped one another. Divested themselves of all their personal stuff. Verse 45, and sold their possessions and property and divided them among all as anyone might have need. They no longer worshiped stuff. Verse 46, and day by day, continuing with one mind in the set-apart place and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Verse 47, praising Elohim and having favor with all the people. And here, listen to this. And the master, that would be Yahshua, and the master added to the assembly those who were being saved day by day. They were going out. They were witnessing. They were living the life in truth, in their flesh. They were living and walking and talking the word. Now, we've gotten away from that. That ends chapter 2, by the way, of the book of Acts. We'll pick up on chapter 3 on the next show. But they were living the word. Some of us do that today. Others just give lip service. Oh, I believe, but then they live in the world. They worship stuff. They do. They worship stuff. They're stuff worshipers. I mean, what can you say? They're stuff worshipers. They don't live the word. They talk it. They go to church on Sunday, maybe. Say, oh, I'm a Christian. And then they go out and they live in the world of the world. They don't set themselves apart. It doesn't cost them anything. They don't give anything up. They have all their stuff. And they're greatly deceived by these churches. This salvation, saved from destruction. In other words, those who won't suffer the second death. But you have to live it. You have to do it. You can't just say it. It's not a saying thing. It's a doing thing. Faith without works is dead. It means you can't say you love Jesus and you believe in Yahweh and all that, and then shack up with some babe or do all this. You have to obey the word. You have to be obedient. You have to live it. You have to live in the scriptures and of the scriptures. And there's a price to pay for that. It's tough. It's not a freebie, okay? No freebies. I'm sorry. It's not a free giveaway. There's a price to pay. You have to give up the world. In other words, the order of arrangement, the way things are done according to the demonic masters of this world. You have to come out from among them and be separate. How many people are willing to do that? How many? There are a lot of people talk it, but do they do it? Doing is the key. Doing, doing, doing. Not talking, talking, talking. There's a price to pay. It's difficult. It's uncomfortable. It's dangerous. You can get killed for professing Christ today. All over the place in so-called Christian nations. You can be preaching on the street here in the United States and somebody walk up and shoot you. I'm not kidding. I mean, it's real. The government's against you. Southern Poverty Law Center's against you. The ADL's against you. The Judeo-Christians are against you. I've been in a Judeo-Christian church giving a bell ringer sermon, and boy, they couldn't get out of there fast enough. Well, you're preaching, just you're a hater. You must be a Nazi. No, I preach the word. You have to do the word. You have to obey it. It's not nailed to the cross.
Well, yes, it is. Pastor Leibowitz says it is, and they taught him in seminary school. It's all nailed to the cross. We don't have to go by that old law anymore.
Oh boy, they're under a strong delusion, and it's gonna cost them. It's not gonna be nice. Not gonna be pleasant. What do you do? You know? You can tell them the word, but if they don't want to follow it, you can't make them. Can't beat them over the head and say, you got to do this. Because they're not gonna. I'm sorry. But they're not gonna. They're going to do what they're going to do. This covenant brought to us by Christ is a voluntary covenant by choice. You have to want to be part of it. You have to want it. You have to ask for it. And then you have to live it. And if you don't, well, you know, hey, everybody's got a free will choice. That's the whole thing. How many people, and I get tempted just to walk away sometimes. I get so down, I get so discouraged, I get tired. That's the flesh speaking, okay? That's that flesh. Flesh gets weary. You have to just keep it on. Occupy until I come, even unto death. It says that in the scripture. You have to just keep on keeping on. Once you come under the covenant, you can't back off. You're committed. That's what the covenant means. You're committed. And that's tough sometimes. Oh, well, that's going to be the end of the reading for today. I'm going to see what comes up. I've got a wake-up call to do for this week, and I may have an inkling of what I want to talk about here. But keep the feast. They're coming up. Occupy until he returns. Occupy. Keep on keeping on and preach the word. Well, that's about it. May Yahweh bless and keep you. And I'm going to play a few tunes here. Let's see what we can get into. Praise Yahweh.
Thank you.